may have noticed, I've sort of been looking at my iPad during the service, and I would ask you to pray for my father. He's 96 years old. He's just had COVID. He's over the COVID, but he hasn't got his diet back. And so we've got doctor's reports, and my relatives are sending me messages here. I'm just trying to keep up with it. Forgive me. Yes, yeah, Sister Downs is going overseas tomorrow. she will fly to Sweden, a short stop in London for a couple of hours, then on to Sweden for a ladies' conference. And then she'll go to another conference in Norway, and then another conference in Denmark with the Church of Brother Chris Brett, who came from this church and is pastor of a church in Denmark. Then I will fly to London, and she'll fly back to meet me in London. We'll be there just a couple of days to get a bit of a rest, and then we'll go by the Eurostar across to France and preach in France. then after a couple of days, we'll catch the Eurostar back to London, quickly get off that train, race around to another station and get another train to Wales, where we'll attend the General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church of Great Britain and Ireland. And then we'll be there, Sarah and Hannah, Bethany, yes, will join us over there for that conference. And then they will come back to London, probably with all the young people in the church in London. And we'll go on to Liverpool to preach in Liverpool. A little bit of sightseeing in between some of these things, and then across to London to preach in the headquarters church in London, back to Australia. So if we're not here, you know where we are, and we're just hoping that you're going to pray for us, that God will move in a mighty way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. The message I'm going to preach this morning, I've preached before. In fact, I prepared this message to preach here at Calvary Chapel, and then we're travelling, so I've preached it in a couple of other places while I've travelled, and everybody's saying, wow, we really got a lot out of that. It's teaching. We really got a lot out of it. You've told us a lot that we should have known about, but we didn't exactly know and never heard it put into a teaching session. So this morning, I'm going to preach to you about what are the benefits of speaking in tongues. What are the benefits of speaking in tongues? So take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you'll need your Bible open, because there's too much scripture to put up on there, okay? We'll have some other verses up on there as time goes on. But to begin with, we're going to look at some verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to totally understand what I'm speaking about this morning. So to begin with, allow me to read some notes, because I know if I was just preaching, I'd probably take a little bit longer. But this is really just an introduction. So I just decided last night, I'm going to read this. I'm not going to try and preach the first part. When the Bible mentions speaking in tongues, it is referring to one of two experiences. Everybody say two. Okay. Speaking in tongues happens in two different, I suppose we could say, arenas. Both sound the same to the ear, but each has a different purpose when spoken. So number one, speaking in tongues as part of personal devotion. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you should be speaking in tongues as part of your personal devotion. So this is when a Christian uses the gift given to him when he is filled with the Holy Ghost. This is particularly what I want to speak about this morning. So I'm going to speak about speaking in tongues in our personal devotion. So we don't get confused, I'm going to just tell you what the other type of speaking in tongues is. Speaking in tongues is one of the nine spiritual gifts spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. This gift is exercised by a person filled with the Holy Spirit in a gathering. So it's either in a gathering or in the church. You've probably heard it here in this church where somebody speaks in tongues and there's an interpretation. It is an anointed message spoken in an unknown tongue, followed by an interpretation. The interpretation of gifts is also a gift of the Holy Spirit spoken of in that same scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 12. The interpretation is given so that all present in the gathering understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. Okay, so you've got your Bible open at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just a couple of verses out of this to help you to get the picture. So let's go to chapter 14, verse 6. Paul says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking in tongues or speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" So this could be very confusing, because think that Paul is saying, don't speak in tongues. No, we'll get the picture of it. Just allow me to go on. Now, verse 12. "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." Everybody say edifying. Edifying, yes. In other words, to the encouragement of the church. Verse 13, "Wherefore, that him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret." Okay, so I've spoken to you, I've given you speaking in tongues in our personal devotion and speaking in tongues, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit in church. So a bit of background now. It sounds like Paul was strongly correcting the Corinthian church. Well, he was. But only because when they came to church, everybody was speaking in tongues. They loved this gift so much, they'd all gather together and everybody would be speaking in tongues without interpretation. And Paul said, this is no benefit to the church. No, when an unbeliever comes in, how's he going to understand what's going on? So what he's saying, when you're in church with other people and there's somebody speaks in tongues, let there be an interpreter. And then later on he says, and let only that happen three times, no more than three times, and each time let there be an interpretation. Okay, you got the picture now? So Paul's trying to correct something that was out of order. He was saying, this gift is wonderful, but there's got to be some rules. Now we come to Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. It was up on the screen before. If we could have it up there again, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. "I thank my God," this is Paul speaking, "I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all." Wow. Well, have you ever wondered about Paul making this statement? I have. When I first read it, I thought, man, he's bragging. He's really bragging. Or well, you may think he's bragging, boasting. Or maybe you would think he's claiming to be more spiritual than anybody else. No, just so that they understood what he had said about speaking in tongues, in correcting them, he was saying, well, there's a benefit, and I speak in tongues more than you all. And obviously, he was saying this was a benefit to him. So, to understand why Paul said this, we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is just exactly what I've done. So, to put it briefly, the use of the gift of speaking in tongues without interpretation was very unacceptable when it was in church. Okay? Because nobody benefited. We're going to see why somebody would speak in tongues in church. And I'll tell you right now, it's because it's very edifying to speak in tongues. But not in church, where it's going to be the confusion. So, of course, if everybody in church is worshipping out loud, then you can speak in tongues quietly yourself. But the moment that you lift your voice above everybody else, you are signifying that there needs to be an interpretation. This is very miraculous. But unfortunately, it was unacceptable and not benefiting people. So it was bringing confusion. So Paul had to correct it. The Apostle Paul spoke a lot about speaking in tongues. It's not a minor subject in the Bible. He speaks a lot about it, both in Corinthians and in Romans. We need to daily appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives by speaking in tongues throughout the day. When Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, he wasn't just praying in tongues when he had his little private devotion. He was praying in tongues all the time. And I'm going to encourage you to speak in tongues. You don't have to speak out loud. You can speak in tongues in your mind. Talk to the Lord throughout the day. And I think as we go on, you're going to understand a tremendous benefit of this. Okay, I think I've got 6 points here that I'm going to bring to you. 6 benefits of speaking in tongues. Amen? All right, if you've got a pen and pencil, you can take down number one. Everybody say number one. First of all, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit won't visit you. Very often before people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they feel the Holy Spirit in the church. And that's what happens in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come upon, not feel, or not permanently feel, the prophets, and they would prophesy and they would do signs and wonders. So when you're in church and you're hearing the gospel of Jesus, you feel Jesus is present. That's because he's come to try and influence you to repent of your sin. He's come to talk to you. You can feel God. When I was here, used to pastoring here in my office every day, we used to have visitors come into the church here. Very often I'd be in my office and I'd hear some footsteps come in and it was different. So either Sister Sarantos or one of the secretaries would meet them. Occasionally I'd come out, and on 2 occasions, one was definitely a lady, I can't remember the other one, but I remember what happened. Both of them basically said, oh, I just come in to look around, just have a look. And so they then said, well, could I have a look in the sanctuary? Could I have a look? It was only a small building in here then. and they would step in. They wouldn't even get off the tiles. On two occasions, people began to weep and said to me, "I feel something in this place. I feel something in here." You see, when you go, the Holy Spirit is still here. Amen? Yeah, that's why this sanctuary is so special. We come here to worship God, and when we leave a little bit behind, the angels of God. And these people have just sort of come in and, "Oh, I feel something in this place." But not only that, many of people who come in here, not just during the week, who come in here for church, they feel something in this place. And when the preaching is taking place, they feel something in this place. That's just God saying, "Hey, you need to repent of your sin. Acknowledge that I am real." The Bible says that God grants repentance. Okay? You can't repent anytime you want. You will only repent when God visits you. That can be through reading the Word of God. It may be during the preaching. It may be when somebody is testifying to you. God will visit you and say, "I am giving you an opportunity to repent." And there's no better time to repent than that. So you may have often wondered, why is it that sometimes we can speak to people and nothing happens? Something should happen when the Spirit of God visits them. That puts the responsibility back on that person. "I visited you, I spoke to you, but you did not repent." So when you repent, as the pastor said this morning in our first session, and you're baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were in an upper room. The Lord had instructed them to go to an upper room and to tarry and to wait. Really, they didn't know what they were waiting for. But they had been with Jesus, and so they were praying. I have heard that possibly they were expecting Jesus to come back again during that meeting. Maybe not. That doesn't say that in the Bible, so we really can't say that for sure. But they were there and they were praying. Then when the day of Pentecost arrived, that was a Jewish celebration, they were praying and something miraculous happened in that room. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and there were tongues of fire came into the room and sat upon those that were praying. And they were, as it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. And we could say that this day was the first day of the New Testament. All right, are you still with me? So the Bible speaks about a seal. Everybody knows what a seal is. Do you know what a seal is? Well, you probably, in the wintertime, you make sure that the door of your house is sealed. We put something around it to make sure that when you close it, none of that cold air outside gets in. Well, that's a seal. But there are other seals. We know that we've seen probably in pictures and movies and so forth, people receiving letters with a seal upon them, okay? Kings who sent orders, they folded the paper up. They didn't have envelopes like we have today. They put wax on them and then they put their seal, which was usually in their ring. They sealed the wax with their ring. And so nobody else was to open that because it had been sealed for a particular person. So one of the definitions is a piece of wax, lead, or other material with an individual design stamped on it, attached to a document as a guarantee of authenticity. So if you got a document, somebody said, this is from the king, and you looked at it, and you thought, wow, it is from the king. It's got his personal seal upon it. A slightly different meaning, a thing regarded as a confirmation or guarantee of something. Now, did you know that the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit being a seal upon our lives? God's seal upon our lives. So let's look at it. Let me read another scripture to begin with in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, which speaks about the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Holy Spirit is not something you take or leave. Understand? We all need the Holy Spirit. So now we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This scripture talks about the seal. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, in whom you have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. It's not a visible seal like the seal that a king would put on a letter, but the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a seal. Yes, other people will see it, but you particularly will know that God has put his mark upon you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we read it again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of salvation, a day of redemption. So what this verse is saying is, do not grieve God's Spirit, because you have been sealed with his Spirit. Amen. And if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, you know it. Because you know when God's seal comes upon you. I will never forget the day that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go into my testimony again, but I preached against Pentecost. I preached against all this sort of stuff. But I must admit, there was a period of time when all of a sudden the light started to shine into my heart, and I began to pray, well, Lord, I want this gift. In my room, I would pray, and it sounded like my prayers would only hit the ceiling and bounce back. But I went to a meeting, a Pentecostal meeting, where there were miracles happening. And the preacher said, if you want the Holy Ghost, come out to the front. So guess what I did? I didn't go out, because I was not going to be ushered into a back room where all this sort of stuff went on, okay? Because to me, up until this point, speaking in tongues was all pretty spooky. So anyway, when these people came out, he ushered into a back room. Now, there you go, that's exactly what they do. They put him in the back room. And there's goes on in the back room. But while I'm there, the Holy Spirit is convicting me. And I thought, no, I'm going to go out. So there was a whole lot of people out the front to receive healing. The preacher went up and down. And every time he went up and down, he walked past me until I decided I've had enough of this, and I stepped in front of him, and he looked at me, he said, I've already prayed for you. I said, no, you haven't. He said, well, what do you want prayer for? I said, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, I called those people out before. I said, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you can see I didn't fall into this pretty easily. And he said, well, just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. I lift up my hands. I got out one word, hallelujah. The second word came out was an unusual word. I was praying in tongues. And the power of God came on me, and I'm praying in tongues out loud in front of the congregation, and I'm thinking to myself, how can I deny this? I can't deny this. This is the power of God. So I felt the seal of God on my life. Very often when people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they weep, they shake. There's a definite visitation of God. I encourage everybody to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But let's get back to speaking in tongues in our private life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So this is the benefit. You become edified. Amen. Because we're talking about something miraculous. When you're praying in tongues, I've experienced this, you will be edified. You can't be engaged in something miraculous and not recognize that God is doing something. So just going back to what I said before, they were in church, all praying in tongues out loud. They were being edified, but other people who came into church were not being edified at all. They were saying, what's the matter with these people? They're crazy. Maybe you're like me. Prior to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, I was asked to go to another Pentecostal church. It was an Assemblies of God, actually. And when I came in, I walked in and was a friend of mine, and nobody was in the church. So we sat down. I sat down right next to the prayer room. After a couple of minutes, they must have been talking in there. All of a sudden, everybody started praying. And all I could hear is people praying in tongues. And I'm thinking, I need to get out of here quickly. Honestly. Because it was so strange. And I can understand, unless you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you will think it's strange. But I stayed. But I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost at that point because I was still in a critical mode. When you speak in tongues, your spirit is in direct contact with God because your language is a heavenly language. You are talking to Him in a supernatural means. You have a direct, intimate link with God when you speak in tongues. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, say amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That infirmities, we often relate to sicknesses. But in the Bible, it's talking about our mortal weaknesses. We are mortal. We have weaknesses. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our mortal weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that word groanings is probably a bit strange, so I'm going to read now from the Amplified, New American Amplified version, the same verse. Now, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings, here it is, too deep for words. Too deep for words. In other words, we are praying things in a supernatural way that you cannot pray in your own language. Another part of the Bible talks about the Spirit of God where we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father was the Jewish way of saying Daddy. And when we pray in the Spirit, we are crying, Daddy, Daddy. Okay? Now, I've used this little illustration before. You think of, you've got children, okay? You're inside washing the dishes. That's the man is washing the dishes with his wife. She's wiping up, which doesn't happen in our house. Thought I'd just be to be honest. And all of a sudden, outside in the backyard, you hear the child cry, Daddy, Daddy! Are you waiting for them to tell you the rest? Or do you, when that cry comes, do you go out to meet them immediately and help them? Because when they cry, Daddy, Daddy, you know they've got a need. And that's why when we pray in tongues, God is listening. You may not know what the call is all about, but God is listening. So now get to point number three. I'll just go back so that just in case I've skipped through this a little bit too fast. The Holy Spirit is a seal upon your life. The second one is you edify yourself when you're speaking other tongues because it's miraculous. And now we come to number three. You know, when we're first saved and we're in this world, it's quite easy to forget that we've been born again. We just get caught up with living, correct? That's why we should come to church, because we're reminded we are a children of God. But you know, point number three, when you speak in tongues, you are being reminded that you worship a miracle-working God, a God who filled you with the Holy Spirit. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 8, it says, But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, I'm not asking you to put your hands up, but who here has ever said things that are like deadly poison? Such as, I hate you. No, I will not do that. Screaming and shouting. Yeah, the tongue is full of deadly poison. We need to take control of our tongue. James chapter 3 verse 10 says, Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings, when we come to church, and cursings, when we're in the world. My brethren, these things ought not to be. But when you yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, this is a big step toward allowing God to control your tongue. Amen? Yeah. My wife and I, when we were pastoring, counseled people in their marriage many times. And to help us with our ability, we went to a course. It was a three-day course up in the countryside somewhere, quite a long way away. I'll never forget this. So they were teaching us how to counsel people, but we were getting a lot of counsel as well. We had to go out for dinner one night. We had to make a date with our wife and go out for dinner. And we had to tell each other what our problem was with marriage. Man, you've got no idea how hard that was. That really spoilt the dinner. When my wife told me what she has a hard time putting up with, I said, Really? Really? But one of the instructions they gave us is when you get into a disagreement. Married couples, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to tell me, you've all had disagreements. And some have been a little louder than at other times. Correct? Yeah. Well, the advice for that is, if you're spirit-filled, hold each other's hands and pray in tongues. And just see if you can still argue after you've done that. Try it. If you hold hands with your wife or your husband and you both pray in tongues for 30 seconds, after 30 seconds, you won't be able to argue. Because speaking in tongues does something for us. It does something in us. All right? Praise the Lord. It's somehow the Holy Spirit will control our tongue. Well, not somehow, it does. Number four. Very often when we pray, we only pray about our personal needs. When we get together, you know, we get on our knees, oh God, hallelujah, you're a wonderful God. Lord, you know what I need. I need this, I need that. Lord, please help me with this, please help me with that. Oh God, please do this for me. It's all about us. And yes, we can pray about us and our needs. But speaking in tongues, when we begin to pray in tongues, and I suggest you pray in English and then pray in tongues, speaking in tongues eliminates the possibility of selfishness entering into your prayers. To avoid this selfish form of prayer, it is wise to spend a lot of your time praying in tongues. Yeah, some people said, you know, I pray for a minute and I've got nothing else to pray for. I just ask God what I want and that's it. Well, spend more time in prayer. Pray in tongues. I ask you a question. We worship the God of the universe, who formed the universe, who gave and breathed into you life. Do you think you can really give God the glory that he deserves when you really consider how big and how great he is? I mean, even today, if we took you to the Queen of England, you had a personal audience, what would you talk to her about? You'd be a bit hard up for words, wouldn't you? Correct? How much more when we talk to God, we find it difficult to express ourselves and to give him the glory that he deserves. But when we speak in tongues, we are speaking in a heavenly language. We are speaking directly to him. You can be thinking in your mind that I want to praise God. You can be thinking in your mind, hallelujah. But when you're praying in tongues, your prayers are at a totally different level. They are at a heavenly level. The tongues of angels. You are giving God the glory that he deserves. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I think I've already referred to this, we know not what we should pray for as we ought or as we should. The Bible tells us we just don't know really how to pray. I want to say, just because you know how to pray does not mean that you know what to pray for and how to pray about things. Yes, we know how to pray, but do we really know what to pray for? The Holy Spirit fills us and the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. When we pray in tongues, we pray spirit-directed prayers, which eliminates all of our own selfishness. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost because you're missing out on all these benefits. Probably the greatest benefit out of all these that I could say is that wonderful initial seal that God places upon your life. Number five, everybody say number five. Number five comes out of Jude chapter 20. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How this happens, I don't know. I know it through personal experience. But when I pray in tongues, very often I pray, but usually when I get into bed at night, about 90% of the time, I just decide I'm going to lay there and I'm just going to pray in tongues. It doesn't matter what sort of day I've had, doesn't matter what I'm going through, but when I'm praying in tongues, I am comforted. Sometimes I feel the very presence of God has come into the room. Sometimes I feel, and I don't think we should all seek after this, sometimes I feel him in my body. I have something like that initial experience that I've had. Sometimes when I pray for people at the altar, you all think they're getting the benefit. Yes, when we pray for people at the altar, they're getting a benefit. But I want to tell you, very often I get the bigger benefit. I laid my hands on somebody in this service earlier on this morning, a young lady. And as I was praying, put my hand on her and begin to pray for her, I felt the Holy Ghost in me. And that same thing can happen to you. Nothing wrong with praying for one another, is there? If you want that to happen, pray. God, if you're really connected with God, he will come. He'll be there. You'll feel his power. Amen. Number six. So in other words, your faith will be stimulated by speaking in tongues. Number six, the last one. Yes, we're coming to an end. When you pray in tongues, it helps you to pray about things that you're not even aware of. Because when we pray with our English language, we only pray about the things we're aware of. But there is a lot of things that we're not aware of, correct? You know, you're feeling depressed. You're feeling that everything's against you. You're down. Well, what's causing that? Sometimes you don't even know what's causing it. God knows. How do you pray about something that you can't explain? Well, I'll tell you, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in other tongues, because then you are praying to God about that specific need. You're thinking, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just praying in other tongues. And your spirit is praying to God. With God's help, you are praying about the very things you need. Maybe you're under a spiritual attack. Maybe you're under temptation. You're thinking, where did this all come from? How do I pray about this? Pray in other tongues. Pray to God. Hallelujah. You can be thinking about your needs if you want to, and I suggest while you are praying in tongues, don't be blank. Be thinking about God's greatness, or be thinking about what you need, or be praising him. But when you pray in tongues, the Spirit is praying. The Holy Spirit, who knows everything, everywhere, can pray for us. So let's say you decide you're going to pray for missionaries. So you start praying, Lord, please, I pray for Brother Gratian in Vanuatu. He's a missionary, be with him. But you really don't know what to pray about, do you? Correct? But God knows what he needs. God knows what he's going through. So you pray in tongues. You pray, Lord, please help Brother Gratian, our missionary in Vanuatu. Be with him and his wife and the church there, then start praying in tongues. Because when you start praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will start praying through you about the things that you are unaware of. And you don't have to know, by the way. Have you got a friend who you know has got a need. You don't have to be a busybody and get it out of them. If they tell you, that's one thing. If they don't tell you, but you know they've got a problem, pray in tongues about them. And you will be praying for their need in the Spirit. The benefits of praying in other tongues are very great. But you can't pray in other tongues unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And you will never get filled with the Holy Spirit unless you repent. In Acts 2:38, it says, Peter said to them on the day of Pentecost, when they heard those that were in the upper room speaking in tongues, they said, what does it all mean? Peter preached to them that they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They actually had put the Messiah on the cross. They cried out, what must we do? How do we get out of this? We've committed this dreadful sin. And Peter said, repent. Wow, they just crucified the Messiah. And Peter said, repent. If you're living in sin, you are crucifying your Jesus, the Messiah, daily. So repent. Then he says, and be baptized in Jesus' name. And it says, for forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there's an order. Repent, be baptized, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's two things we must do. We must repent, and we must be obedient to go down into the waters and be baptized. Then God does two things. He forgives our sin, and he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that some people, when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, find it difficult. It's only difficult because we have to get our minds past ourselves and enter into the spiritual. Because you're not receiving something that is of this world. You're receiving something that is absolutely and totally supernatural. I recommend to people, and there's no stereotype way of it, I just recommend to people, the best way to get the Holy Ghost is to worship. We've had people who actually didn't come to the altar. We've had people in this church who were just worshiping God during the service and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, you can come, just like Paul laid his hands on the church at Ephesus. You can come and receive prayer and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, but you're not going to get the Holy Ghost if you've got your mouth closed, because you speak in tongues, you don't in tongues. Understand? And I suggest that when you're speaking, your attitude is expressed by worshiping God out loud, forgetting about all embarrassment, forgetting about everybody looking at you. Connect with God directly, expecting to feel his power come upon you and fill you. It's not that we want the tongues, it's that we need the Spirit of God. And when we get the Spirit of God, he puts his seal upon us. So if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, exercise these wonderful blessings. Use these wonderful blessings in your life. You'll find it will help to lift you up, encourage you. You will find that as you use this gift, that you'll become a conqueror. You will find that God will visit you very often, and you'll feel his presence. Amen.